The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We're actually multiple times per day on Tuesday through Friday throughout the month of June as we're connecting with guests from all 32 NFL teams. This is day two of the series, the All 32 series. We're breaking down the NFC East and AFC East this week, and to break down the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, the most hyped Buffalo Bills team since the K-God of the 1990s, Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm good. And also, you have your own podcast, The Buffalo Beat, a show about the Buffalo Bills. If you don't have a podcast in 2020, what is the point?
Exactly. I mean, I think we were a couple of years ago we started that, and even that felt late. And so now, yeah, if you don't have one, you got to get with the times here.
When you look at this Bills team, it's a little weird because, okay, here's what I think people have been saying, and I don't know if I agree with it or not. I think I do to some degree, but not entirely. People have been saying that the 2020 Buffalo Bills are this year's version of the 2019 Cleveland Browns. Does that seem fair?
I don't know if I like that comparison.
I don't think I do either.
I think I would compare them, if you want to take the cynical angle on the offseason hype, I think I would compare them to the Bears of last year. After taking a step forward, winning a lot of games, their young quarterback showing some progress, it kind of went sideways a little bit. I don't envision them, kind of combusting the way the Browns did. They don't have the offseason hype train in quite the same way because they're not built the same way. This has been a slower build than what the Browns did. They also don't have Freddie Kitchens.
That's a great point.
They have a coach who
Sean McDermott is an awesome coach.
Yeah, he's not perfect. I think he still has some things to prove and some things to improve on, but he's not Freddie Kitchens. He's shown that he can get something out of this team, even when they don't have a lot of talent. He did that in 2017. And last year they were, I thought for the most part, a pretty well coached team. His game management is iffy in spots and, nobody's going to accuse him of being a cutting edge offensive mind, but at the same time, he's got a program built. He and Brandon Bean have built something that I think is a little bit different than what the Browns were doing. So I look at the Bears as an example. If you want to be, a little bit cynical that maybe the progress they showed last year was a little bit of fool's gold because you're not sure about the quarterback and they had a pretty easy schedule, that argument I would buy, but the Browns are just a little bit different because the Browns, we've seen that show before where they get the hype and they don't come through. And this team isn't as loud and in your face about the offseason hype as that one was.
No, I think that's a great call because it's easy to do it because it's like, all right, this is a franchise that hasn't won a ton in recent years, although secretly the Bills have had much more success than the Browns have since coming back to Cleveland. They trade a first round pick for a wide receiver who's had some, sort of fell out of favor in the old spot. So you can see the comparisons, but I agree. I think if you told me the Bills went 8-8, I'd be like, all right, well, things went south for them, but they have Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, as you point out, have built such a high floor for this team. That's what I think is so interesting about it. And if Tom Brady doesn't leave, maybe all this hype isn't happening,
Yeah, I think that's fueling a lot of this. The fact that Tom Brady's gone, I know it's
somebody has to step up and take the division, right?
And that's what's fueling a lot of the optimism in Buffalo. It's like finally they're out from under the thumb of Tom Brady and, people are looking for somebody to step in and fill that void. And it's not fun to sit here and say, well, the Patriots will just keep chugging along. That's not interesting. People have been waiting for years for somebody else to take over. I think it's still very much possible that, the Patriots continue to do what they've done for a long time. They won't be quite the same without Tom Brady, but they still have Bill Belichick. But I think there's a lot of people who maybe missed last year with the Bills, didn't see the jump coming and are trying to get on the hype train now and make up for it. But I'm with you. I could see them going in that 8-8, 9-7 range. I think it would be a disappointment for a lot of people, but I don't necessarily see things blowing up in a major way unless there's injuries and other things that we can't, you know, foresee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like if everybody gets hurt, you know, they're going to lose a bunch of games. But I think one of the things that they've done in terms of building this high floor that the Bears did to an extent, and this is what the Browns didn't have, was if their young quarterback struggles, they can still win games. And or the Bills have done a good job, and I'm not saying they're trying to hide Josh Allen, but they want to win. They've been winning with running the football and playing defense. And that's just what Sean McDermott does. I mean, he did it, you know, he was a defensive, great defensive coordinator for Carolina, great defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. When he took over the spot in Philly, it was a tough spot and he got a bad rap, but I digress. My point being is that if they can win, even if Josh Allen doesn't take a leap, the question then becomes, can he take a leap? And what do you envision Josh Allen doing in 2020?
That's a million dollar question.
Are you on or off the Josh Allen train? Cause I feel like there's nobody who's like side saddling it.
Right. I, you know, it's a weird, it's very strange. The Josh Allen, he's so polarizing. So the Josh Allen, you know, kind of train is a weird one. I think you're right in the fact that they can win games even if he doesn't take a huge step forward. Obviously, their ceiling is pretty much entirely dependent on how he plays.
Yes.
If he becomes, you know, the quarterback that they think he can be, then this could be a legitimate, you know, contender for the AFC. If he's the same quarterback as last year, I think their ceiling is kind of capped at what they were last year because, you know, it's hard for me to envision him taking a massive step forward this year, to be honest. I think he took a pretty big step forward last year, but I think there were still a lot of things that are wrong with his game. His deep accuracy was among the worst in the league. He still did a lot of his best work running the football, even though he didn't run nearly as often as he did as a rookie. Accuracy is still a problem. We'll see. I'm not ready to write him off. I feel like maybe I am one of those people that's, you know, still on the fence, honestly.
Yeah. Actually, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm lying. Maybe I side saddle Josh Allen too. Part of the problem is that Pete Prisco, my colleague, is so all in on Josh Allen that like I give crap, Pete crap about like most stuff that he's all in on. So it turned, and there was this whole nerds versus jocks, Josh Allen debate coming into the draft and then even coming out when he was drafted by Buffalo. Like I like Josh Allen as a player. And I think that you could, like, there's an unquestioned room for growth there. And if he does take a leap, then he could become an elite quarterback. It just, when you look like, you know, this is a guy in his second year on a team that, you know, ran the ball a ton and won 10 games and completed less than 60% of his passes. Like that's hard to do.
Yeah. And the thing about him too is he's a lot of fun to watch, regardless of what side you're on. He's exciting to watch because you just don't know what he's going to do. And, you know, that's part of what makes it hard to fully jump on board because some of what happened in that playoff game last year was, I can't even explain it. You know, watching some of that happen, the way that he played in that game was really confusing. And that was a lot of what we saw all season long. And he didn't play his best football against the best teams. And that's what concerns me about, you know, going into 2020 and you talk about the ceiling of this team and his ceiling as a player. I think most of us can agree. You know, you mentioned that nerds versus jocks sort of element to the whole Josh Allen discussion. I think most of us can agree that Josh Allen is better than his detractors thought he would be coming out of college. And I think, you know, that being said, he's not there yet. And
he's also not as good as his like proponents exactly. have expected him to be.
There is a middle ground and he's not there yet. And there's no guarantee that he will get there. And as a passer, he's still pretty flawed. Now they hope that Stephon Diggs can hide some of those flaws. I think he's a guy that runs really good routes. He's got a good catch radius. He gets open. He gets a lot of separation, which is essential for Josh Allen because, you know, tight windows can be a problem. I know he has the great arm, but you need accuracy and timing for tight windows too. So Stephon Diggs could be a good fit, but we also saw that he got pretty frustrated with Kirk Cousins. And
it's like, dude, Kirk Cousins is one of the five most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history. Now you're going to catch ball. Like Josh Allen's going to be winging stuff past your ear.
Yeah. And he's a great deep receiver, Stephon Diggs is. And people think that that will automatically fix Josh Allen's deep accuracy, but his deep ball was really, really bad last year, like really bad. People cite the statistic of, you know, 20 yards or more in the air. But if you push that to 30 yards or more, which is the traditional go ball, you're going to throw it about 35 to 40. It took him like almost halfway through the season before he hit one of those. And it was just really, really bad. And so hopefully, you know, they hope that Stephon Diggs can cover that up. And this is the time of year where optimism is overflowing in the league. You know, Josh Allen organized, you know, a get together of about 20 teammates down in Florida, and he and Stephon Diggs are chumming it up. They had a photographer down there taking pictures and videos and, you know, everything is all well and good. But, you know, this is the time of year where it's easy to be optimistic. He hasn't gotten on the field against the defense yet, not even his own. And, you know, he hasn't gotten on the field against another team. So we need to see some tangible results in terms of improving his accuracy, improving his timing, improving his decision making. And he needs to be the reason they win games, frankly. And I don't think he was the reason they won games very often last year. Maybe Dallas on Thanksgiving. And, you know, he pulled out some fourth quarter comebacks, but he was largely the one digging those holes to begin with. So, you know, they're still going to have a really good defense. But if you want to take the next step to be a team that can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, which should be the goal, then you need more than a defense. You're going to need to score points and try to keep up with that offense. And, you know, right now it's hard to say whether Josh Allen and this group are ready to do that.
After the break, we will talk about the rest of that roster.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for real.
What is what's the undersold story that not enough people might be talking? Because we spent the first half of this podcast talking about Josh Allen, but I mean, as we know, it's not, we're not just being lazy and hitting the quarterback angle. Like if he blows up in 2020, this team has Super Bowl aspirations. If his ceiling looks cat, as we said before. So what's the story that maybe is flying under the radar?
You know, I think they did a really good job building this defense to the point where it might be better than it was a year ago. And that was a really good defense last year. They kept a lot of the key pieces, you know, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, these guys that are continuing to grow together. But they also retooled the defensive line. We'll see what happens with Ed Oliver after his offseason arrest, but even if he's suspended at any point, he's still a guy that I would expect to take a pretty big step forward. They signed Quentin Jefferson, Mario Addison, Vernon Butler, drafted AJ Epenesa. they lost Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips, but I think the defensive line on paper looks better than it was. And that's really been the only thing you can poke holes in about this defense, is that they don't get an elite pass rush, and they're not top end in that regard. They might have a chance to be that in 2020. And, you know, we'll see what happens at cornerback. They signed Josh Norman. If he can have a bounce back year, then all of a sudden that secondary that was already one of the best in the league could get even better.
What is a successful season for the Bills in 2020 as we stand here in early June? I mean, if unfortunately for the city of Buffalo and Bills fans, it does feel like anything less than 10 wins will be disappointing, right?
Yeah, anything less than 10 wins. And I would take it a step further and say they need to win a playoff game to show progress. And, you know, even if there's a lot of people around here picking them to win 12, 13 games, and that has not been the case since I got here in 2014. There's never been any level of optimism like this. And I think you could go back to the 90s before, you know, you could see people this excited about this team. But to me, you know, a lot of it, and I think this was the case last year too. People said, what does a successful season look like? And I said, if they, you know, the record might not matter, but if they know that Josh Allen is their quarterback, that's a successful season. And last year, I didn't feel like they ended the season knowing that for certain. And I think that's a similar bar this year. They have a tougher schedule for sure. Last year, they had a pretty easy schedule. They did not perform well against teams with winning records. The only playoff team that they beat was the Tennessee Titans, and that was before they benched Marcus Mariota. It was actually the last game before he got benched. So that was the only playoff team they beat. So going into this year, they've got some tougher opponents. They play the AFC West.
Insane, like, 5 missed field goal game?
Yes, there was a lot. And then Marcus Mariota went over the line of scrimmage, but maybe didn't go over the line of scrimmage. Yeah, it was a weird game down in Tennessee, and they barely won, which they did a lot last year, barely winning and pulling games out that,
Kyra Santos 0-for-4 on field goals.
He got cut, I think, that week too. He got cut and Mariota got benched. So that was sort of the awakening for the Titans a little bit. So this year, I think you want to see this team beat those good teams and be more competitive against those good teams. And I think part of, you know, if you're going to be sold on Josh Allen, he needs to, you know, maybe throw for 300 yards once in a while, you know, hit more deep balls, you know, become more accurate, maybe complete 60% of his passes. We're not talking, turning him into Drew Brees or anything, but, and I think in the end, yeah, you know, get to 10 wins again or get to the playoffs again, whatever it looks like, get to the playoffs again. And win a game,
right?
Beat a playoff team. You know, don't get out coached by Bill O'Brien. That's a problem. Don't lose to a team like that.
There's no excuse to lose that playoff game.
No, the way that they started, and that's where, you know, yeah, Sean McDermott's a good coach, and he's gotten this team turned around. But
he turtled up a little bit.
You need to find out if the quarterback and the coach are built to win in the playoffs. And I think the bar is a little bit different in Buffalo because they've been so bad for so long, and this is the guy who ended the playoff drought, and this is the quarterback who looks like, you know, the best prospect they've had at the position since the 90s. But you have to readjust the expectations in the bar, because otherwise you become like the Bengals, you know, making the playoffs and being okay with that and being okay with your first round exits. And I don't think people around here are going to be okay with that. I think they want to see this team, you know, schedule or not, rise up and win some games, beat some teams, that are considered among the best in the league, and then go into the playoffs, and win a game.
All right. So I think I like that. It's sort of a joint. You know, it goes hand in hand. Like, they need to win a playoff game, but as part of that process, basically Josh Allen needs to take a step forward and prove that he is in fact the guy. I mean, right?
Yeah, it's never in that's the problem I always have. You know, 9 wins doesn't look the same every year, right? And so people will always ask me versions of that. How many wins do the Bills need to get this year for, you know, this person to keep their job, or this, you know, it's never in a vacuum. It's never, you know, so
like, if they go 8-8 and Josh Allen hasn't, like, a monster leap forward, then, like, you're like, okay, you know, that sucks that we went 8-8.
Right. You're not firing anybody, and you're extending, you know, you're picking up Josh Allen's option and feeling okay. There's always so many circumstances that can contribute to, you know, 10 wins or can contribute to 7 wins. You could have some bad injuries that make life a lot tougher. You could drag Josh Allen to 11 wins, but he doesn't look good. And then you're not feeling all that great about the long term, you know, of this.
You lose the first round of the playoffs, you win 11 games, and Josh Allen takes a step back. That's a worse season. The Bills are one of the most interesting teams in football this year because of this Josh Allen thing and because of their history over the past. I mean, heck, they hadn't been in the playoffs since Wade Phillips, right? I mean, it's crazy.
So many primetime games too. It's reflected in the schedule, and it's what, you know, I've got my fingers crossed that the season goes on as scheduled, and hopefully, you know, hope against hope that maybe there's a chance fans can get in the buildings because this is
Bills Mafia deserves this.
They've been waiting for some national respect. They're finally getting it, and I have no idea which way it's going to go, but I am really fascinated to follow it. It's the most interesting team I've gotten to cover, and I sat through some Rex Ryan years, so this is interesting in a much better way than that was, and I think it's going to be a fun year to follow this team regardless of what happens.
All right, Matthew Fairburn covering the Bills for The Athletic's. Make sure and check him out on Twitter at Matthew Fairburn. Read him on The Athletic and check out the podcast, The Buffalo Beat, a show about the Buffalo Bills. This is fun, man. We should do it again. And, man, I hope you're right. I hope we get fans in there. I hope that we don't have to see 25 Bills fans on a Zoom call jumping through tables. All right, man. Appreciate it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.